You guys had a rough time waking up this morning. Some of us, I woke up pretty good this morning, so I'm thanking God for that. Usually I wake up with a headache, and today was okay. So we're in the middle of a series, Light in the Darkness. And we started last week with Pastor Chris. He opened up the series with us, and it's Light in Darkness. And today, the message is titled, A Glimmer of Hope. How am I sounding out there? I hear an echo. You guys sound okay? All right. So today, we're going to be in the book of John. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles available at the welcome table. And if you have a Bible, you don't know how to navigate that, there's a table of contents. And it tells you the Old Testament and the New Testament. And part of the New Testament is the book of John, written by the Apostle John. We started this last week, and I'm going to continue reading in John chapter 1. And also, there's a Bible app. If you have a Bible app, go to John, and then you can find out where the verses are there as well. We're going to be in verses 1 to 14 this morning. So I'm going to do a little bit of a recap of what was spoken last week, just to get us ahead, because we're going to continue on with that. So it says this, John 1, verses 1 to 5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Last week we discovered that John tells that Jesus is the Word, and that Jesus is the light that brings true life into the world. So Jesus is the world. He was here before the world was created. He was part of creating the world. And Jesus, we learned last week that Jesus exposes darkness, and that Jesus is the light that brings true life into the world. You want to find true life? You got to search and receive Jesus. And Jesus overcomes, he exposes the darkness, and it overcomes the darkness through the truth of what we call his word. The very words of Jesus are the very words of God. And we find his word through what we call the Bible. And so we need to run to the light when darkness tries to overcome us and our situations and our life. So this week we're going to continue in that passage. And starting with verse 9, it says this, that the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The Apostle John, when he wrote this, he was telling back to when John the Baptist was preaching about Jesus coming, and he's telling that Jesus, the light, is coming into the world. Something is coming. And so, how many of you guys like, or how many of you guys don't like sleeping in the dark? How many of you guys are afraid of the dark? You guys are all brave. One person, right? How many of you guys have to sleep with some kind of light on? I do. Number one, because I get kind of freaked out when it's dark. Like, I'm a little, you know, my wife, you know, if something goes on, there's a noise, she's the first one to check it out, not me, because number one, I can't see at night because, first of all, I don't have glasses on when I'm sleeping, so if something's going on, I got to search for my glasses first, right? So I'm blind from the start. So my wife usually is over there the first time. I remember one time we were in New Mexico, and we heard a noise downstairs, and I'm trying to get my glasses on, and she's already downstairs with a bat in her hand trying to figure out what's going on. I'm like, how'd you get down there so fast? So that's what kind of, you know, person I am. But I have to have some sort of light on during the nighttime because I don't like the dark. So all around the world, when we talk about darkness, a lot of people, a lot of places, they use darkness as a metaphor for evil for lostness and uncertainty. Darkness represents darkness, it represents evil, lostness, and uncertainty. And light is a metaphor for hope. It's a metaphor for direction, for certainty, for truth. So it's not surprising that when John used these words as a picture for us in his teaching and his writing, that light and darkness are a powerful symbolic idea. John takes these powerful terms and uses them to speak about Jesus being light in a dark world. So he talks about how he will come to dissipate darkness and offer light to everyone and anyone who listens to him and follows him. So, but John notes this morning for us to read, when we read the Bible, he notes that some people will not follow Jesus. Some people will not receive. Some people will reject this light. Many of you here this morning, you're probably Christians. You probably have some relationship with God, and you say you're a Christian and you follow Jesus. But there's a lot of people in this world that don't follow Jesus. Or maybe you're here this morning, and we're so glad that you're here with us this morning, and you're not a follower of Jesus. This is kind of the camp where you're at. You don't follow Jesus. You're kind of, he may be interesting to you. The miracles he did are probably pretty cool. You're not really sure if they actually did happen, but, you know, Christians, you know, we're really, you know, enthusiastic about that, and we believe that he answers prayer and all those things. But maybe here you're on the sidelines, and you're like, I don't really believe in Jesus. So this might kind of be you this morning. He says in verse 10 that he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. This world has so much darkness that it doesn't even know the true light exists until someone shows them or until someone tells them. Because darkness is a distraction from light. Darkness brings pain, confusion, and uncertainty at times. The enemy of this world, we know him as the devil or Satan, he offers some light as well. Jesus is the light of the world. He offers light. But so does Satan. So does the enemy of this world. He offers, we'll call it a fake light. You guys know what a bug light is? A bug zapper? Those things are made to attract bugs. It's a light that is made to attract, but it's not a good light, is it? It's a light that once something is drawn to it, it destroys it. Which for us is a good thing, right? We don't want bugs in the house or if we're outside. We want to destroy those bugs. And when I first came to Virginia, there was a lot of bugs outside. And I was like, man, we've got to get that bug zapper going because it's not cool. And my wife doesn't like bugs either. But it draws, the bug light, it draws to destroy and not bring life. It's not a life-giving light. Jesus is a life-giving light. So the things of this world that draws us, the temptations of this world that we're tempted to look after and go for are fake lights in the world. In this world of darkness, there's fake lights that try to draw us. And some people and those who don't know Jesus, and we could be tempted too, to chase after these lights every single day. The fake lights of success, the fake lights of security, the fake lights of wealth, the fake lights of happiness, love, the fake lights of purpose, fulfillment, fake lights of relationships, the fake lights of freedom. And here's what I want you to realize this morning, we need to realize, is that we only see what we pursue. We will only see what we pursue. So if you're looking at a fake light, and you're drawn to that, that's the only thing that you're going to be living for, is that fake light. And when you pursue what is part of darkness, you will only reap what is dark. When you pursue what is darkness, you will only reap what is dark. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, he says this in chapter 8, verse 9 to 12, or 19 to 12. He says, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists, what are those? Those are people who were claiming to be able to talk to dead people on behalf of someone who is living. So you guys watch those shows, or you've seen those shows when, you know, someone's talking to someone's dead uncle and this is what they told you. That's kind of the idea here. Who whisper and mutter, Should not a people inquire of their God? This capital G is talking, hey, shouldn't you inquire of the real God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. And this is the result of those who follow these fake lights. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged and, looking upward, will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Listen, seeking freedom, purpose, and fulfillment in this world apart from God will leave you disappointed. A lot of people this year, it's been a rough year. Listen, when you put your hope in your finances, when you put your hope in your job, when you put your hope in your workplace, when you put your hope in your relationships, once all that's taken away from you, the way that you respond determines how much hope and trust you put in that thing. Many people, they get depressed and they have anxiety, which is natural because we're human, right? We have anxieties and stress and worries. But for those that know that God is still on the throne, for those that know that Jesus is the true light who gives us life, who is our life, we know that this world is only temporary. And everything that happens to us and through us is all passing through. We're all part of God's plan to get us through here to where he wants us to be eventually. So I have to encourage you, man, you're stressed, you're worried, you have anxiety. We've got to release that to God, because all these things that happen here on earth are only temporary. He's saying, Isaiah is saying to the people that if you look around, you'll see no real satisfaction. You're going to feel emptiness. And he's saying that these people, that they knew about God, they kind of knew what God could do, but in the end, they ended up blaming God. And they became angry at God. And they faced disappointment. There's a lot of people that blame God for the bad things that happen in this world. Because if God is real, couldn't he stop these things from happening? Right? That's a question that people ask. Hey, if God is real, why does he allow evil in the world? If God is a good God, why does he allow suffering? It's because of sin. This is not very uplifting, is it? We're supposed to be talking about a glimmer of hope this morning. So going back to John, and I'm not going to give you any good news on this next part either. Going back to John, he mentions a second group of people who will reject Jesus and the light that he brings. Verse 11, it says this: he came to which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Parents, do you like being rejected by your kids? Not at all. For me, my kids, they reject me now that they're getting older. They don't want to spend time with dad, and dad's irrelevant, and dad's, you know, not funny, and dad's not smart, and all those things. You know, my youngest still loves me and, you know, likes to cuddle, but the older ones are like, oh, dad, stay away, don't touch me, you know. But when your kids reject you, it's not a good feeling. And we as parents, we always try to, you know, be the cool person. Like, we can't be the cool person all the time because we've got to discipline them. But we try to always connect with our kids because we love that relationship that we have with our kids. And God sent Jesus to the world, to the earth, to have a relationship with the Israelites, who were his originally chosen people. But his originally chosen people rejected him. They were called God's chosen. They were set apart as an example to the rest of the world what a relationship with God would look like. But they rejected Jesus because Jesus came to be a light for all people and not just for them. I remember, speaking of a little bit of expectations here, how many of you guys love Christmas Day, Christmas morning? I do. I used to love seeing all the presents under the tree. And I had three other brothers growing up. And so what we would do is, once we saw all the presents were there, we would always scan the edge of the Christmas tree in the bottom to see who got the biggest present. You guys ever do that? Who got the biggest present? Right? That was always the thing. Who got the biggest present? And someone would always be disappointed when the biggest present wasn't theirs. See, this is how the Israelites felt about Jesus. He was supposed to be their Messiah who would come and take names and take over the Roman Empire and all that division that was going on. He was supposed to conquer the land. He was supposed to come as a king that conquered and took over and gave Israelites back their political power and their status. But Jesus did not come to do that. He came not for just them, but for all people. The biggest present was for all people, not just for this select few. See, they knew about the coming of the Messiah, but Jesus was not who they expected. Those who most naturally would have believed in him because of their heritage, because how they grew up, because how they were taught, they rejected him. They wanted nothing to do with Jesus. Some people have grown up in church. They know about Jesus. They've seen what Jesus can do. They've seen other people follow Jesus. Or maybe they fell away from, maybe fallen away from church for a while. You know about Jesus, but for some reason you haven't, and they haven't taken that next step to fully committing to him. I want you to know that you can know Jesus in your head, but you can miss him in your heart. Some people will go to church their whole life and never fully commit to Jesus, never commit to taking a next step in following him, because they're not fully surrendered to him. They know about Jesus, but personally they reject Jesus. Because when Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me, deny yourself, we don't like that. They choose the things of this world instead of God. They choose work. They choose sports. They choose their family. They choose relationships over relationship with God. They rely on their own wisdom instead of the wisdom found in God's word. They don't go to God's word. They go by just what they feel, what they think is right. They listen to everything else, but they don't listen to what God says. They will be the ones to justify their sin and choices by not putting God first, by simply saying, God just wants me to be happy. You guys ever heard someone say that about a choice that they're making? That doesn't really sound okay. That doesn't sound right. I'm not going to judge you for it because, you know, it's your life. But it just doesn't sound right because God does want us to be happy. Well, that's true. God wants us to be happy, but he doesn't want you to live in disobedience either. You see, these people, they rely on their own wisdom. Paul says this in Romans 1, 21 to 23. He says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but in their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human being and the birds and the animals and the reptiles. He's talking about people who did believe, but they gave up because the world, the lights of this world was more appealing to them. The fake lights were more appealing. The success, the wealth, the relationships, they distracted them from the true light. It seems pretty dark that people are rejecting God, rejecting Jesus. And then people that supposedly should have been the ones accepting God, who most naturally would believe in him, are rejecting him. We fall in one of those categories. Or this next category of a person. Verse 12, going back to John, it says this, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. It says, yet there was a people who did believe. And that may be you this morning. You said, yes, I have put my faith, my trust in Jesus. I'm going to follow him. And despite your background of not being an Israelite, the original chosen, you have put your faith in Jesus. And some of us are the most unlikely persons to follow him. Glenn right here, like, how would he follow Jesus? Like, how'd that ever happen, right, Glenn? Most unlikely people follow Jesus. And Jesus went to people that were nothing like him, and they followed him. In turn, he gave them a light to be called, the right to be called the children of God. And this is huge, because as children of God, there's huge benefits to doing that. There's huge benefits of being his child. We don't got to be afraid of the dark, right? God wants to give us so many things. And watch this, verse 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Not only did Jesus, God, give them the right to become his children, but he gave them an example on earth to follow. So see, following Jesus isn't just an abstract idea. It isn't just a pointless religion. It's a relationship of a God who sacrificed himself for us. He came down on earth. He sent his only Son to not only show us the way, but to do life with us. The Word became flesh. God gave us Jesus as an example for us to walk in the light. So John, among the other apostles, who wrote what we now call the New Testament, has given us this picture of what Jesus, what it looked like to walk with Jesus. And it has become a guide for us, which is the Bible. The Bible is our guide because it shows what Jesus was like when he was on earth. And to see what Jesus is like shows us what God is like. Psalm 119, 105, the psalmist says this, "Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path." Jesus is the Word, and the Word is God, and the Word was God. So it's showing that Jesus is the Word. He is the lamp to our feet, and he's also the light. He's a light for our path. He makes things clear that are dark. So I want you to notice a few things. Is number one is that his word reveals who he is. Since the beginning of time, people have pondered who God is. We have questions about who God is, what's he like. And Jesus, who is the word, reveals who God is. He is a God who loves, who isn't absent, but he's involved in our lives. He knows us and what we're going through. Light reveals the answer of what God is like. Jesus came to clear up that question, that he is not angry at us, that he is love, that he is not apathetic, but he's compassionate, that he's not absent, but he's here. He's here with you, that he is not neglecting us, but he wants to take care of us. Not only does Jesus clear up this question, he also exposes the darkness because he is light. Light exposes the darkness. Second thing, 1 Corinthians 4:5, it's not on the screen, but it says this, that Jesus will bring to light what is hidden in darkness. Jesus will bring to light what is hidden in darkness. We all have some darkness in us, don't we? I have some darkness in me. Like, well, what are you talking about? I have anger issues. I have struggled with self-image. I've had tons of issues in my past with purity. I had some darkness in my life that Jesus is working and clearing up. We all have darkness in us. We all have a past. We've all made choices that aren't God's best. And Jesus wants to expose those in us so he can free us. And his word does this. Jesus being the light does this. Exposure of our darkness is never meant to hurt us, but always meant to heal us. Never to put you down, but to lift you up, because he always has in mind what's better for your life. He knows what's better more than you know what's better for your life. We may see exposure as a bad thing, but Jesus brings to light what is hidden to bring to life. Jesus doesn't want what's going to hold us down. He doesn't want what's going to hold us back. He doesn't want what's going to keep us from him to control us. Listen, when you go to a hospital because you broke something, what does the doctor got to do? They got to x-ray the area that you got hurt in, right? Because light, because the x-rays are able to bring to light what is broken. If we can see the problem, then the problem can be dealt with. Because if the doctors don't know which bones are broken, it's going to be difficult to fix that problem, isn't it? So we use x-rays to bring to light what's broken. And I want us to see that we all are knit by this common thread. We all have something wrong with us. How many of you guys have something wrong with you? Lift your hands up. It should be everyone in the room. If you're perfect, that means you're Jesus. And you should be up here preaching, not me. None of us are perfect. We all are broken somehow. There's always something wrong with us. We all have struggle with sin. We're always going to face that. No questions. It's all of us. We all have darkness in us. And we're all broken. Paul said it clearly when he said, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that you haven't tried to do good. It doesn't mean that you haven't tried your best. It just means you're not God. Jesus came and lived a sinless, perfect life. And here's the good news for us, kind of the hope that we have, is that Jesus comes along to expose this brokenness and this sin in us. Like, how could that be a good thing? How could my sin being exposed and brought to light be a good thing? Because it's not meant to hurt you. It's meant to heal you. It's not meant to belittle you. It's meant to lift you up. It's not meant to condemn you or embarrass you. But it's meant to convict you and elevate you to that place and space that God wants for you. Light will always expose darkness. And if you walk and follow Jesus, eventually his word will start calling out that darkness in you. He'll start talking to us about our pride, our attitude, our selfishness, maybe even the way that we handle our finances. It gets uncomfortable sometimes when those things get exposed in us. But it's always for our good. It's never meant to hurt. It's always to heal. Light exposes, but it's always for our good. If you follow Jesus, you need to understand that the pain that you face, God wants to expose that pain. Why do you really hurt in that area? Why are you really worried? Why do you really have that anxiety? God wants to expose that in you so you can trust him more. Because once you're ready to admit, "God, I struggle because, you know what, I don't want to lose that job. My whole lifestyle depends on me keeping that job. God, I don't want to lose that relationship with that person because they make me feel special, and if I don't have them, then who am I?" God doesn't want you to be trapped by any false lights in this world. He wants you to be lifted up by him. And here's another thing about the light. The light transforms everything. The light transforms everything. Light transforms an environment, right? When we're first here, when we're setting up, this whole room is lit up. But then they dim the lights, and it changes the environment. And that's what Jesus does for us. He changes the environment that we live in because we no longer see the world the way that we used to. We see with clear eyes, the way Jesus wants us to see. Light transforms the soul, and light changes everything about our journey. Listen, when I was an angry person, I was always angry. I was angry at my wife. I was angry at the kids, angry at the dogs, angry at the neighbors and any person that walked in my way. I was always angry. But as soon as God exposed that in my life and I realized that I needed to repent of that anger and to deal with some issues in my own life and surrender that to him, I no longer saw life the same way. I was no longer angry towards every person. I no longer wanted to cuss out the people at the store, in the line at Walmart. I had compassion on people because I saw the world in a different light. Jesus came to change our environment. He intended for his people to hear this, that if you're living a life that is joyless, lacks purpose, lacks real meaning, lacks hope, Jesus is the light that changes that. He wants to take your life and mark it with freedom, purpose, and fulfillment. So maybe you're here today and you're feeling broken. Maybe you're here this morning and you're feeling empty and lost. Maybe you have anxiety. Maybe you have a lot of uncertainty. Jesus wants to bring light to your life. He wants to change what you see. Jesus came to be a light that would bring hope to the hopeless. to fill that emptiness that you may feel, to heal your brokenness, and to transform everything about you. What used once to be dark can be filled with light because the light changes everything. I follow Jesus because I saw the light. I saw the light in my marriage. I saw the light in my attitude, my anger, my self-image. I didn't follow Jesus because I'm afraid of the dark, right? I don't follow Jesus because I'm afraid of the dark. I follow him because I saw the difference that he makes in my life. I see the difference. So I stay following Jesus, who is the light. Because in the light is where I get to know God, who he is, and how to live for him. And then I also see this, I get to see how he transforms my life. I get to see from where I used to be to where I am now. I'm not perfect, but I'm still growing, right? None of us are perfect, but hopefully we're still growing. Jesus wants to transform your life and bring it to the light. Revelation 22:3-5, it says this, and this is John at the end of his life when he's at an island receiving this from God, talking about what we have to look forward to when we live in the light. He says, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb of God will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. There will be no more need of the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. This is the hope that we have, that one day there will be no more darkness. And what else does this mean for us? It says that we're going to have the light of life in us. He's going to give us the light. So guess what? One day there's going to be no more need for the Bible. One day there's going to be no more need for the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Because we're going to be meeting with Jesus face to face. When our faith will become reality, we're going to be with him in heaven. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more worry, no more COVID, no more viruses, no more diseases. It's going to be a good day. Do you have this hope? Do you have this hope this morning? Are you walking in the light that God gives? Have you received the light? Or are you distracted by this world of false hopes, false lights that seem appealing, like they'll satisfy, that they'll give you what you're looking for, but in reality, they will only leave you disappointed, and they really don't last? Or maybe this morning you've known Jesus for a while, but you haven't taken that next step to fully commit yourself to him. Because remember, you can know Jesus in your head. You can know the right things to do, the right things to say, the right time to go to church, the right songs. But you can miss them in your heart. How do you know if you have them in your heart? By taking next steps and following him. By surrendering yourself to him. By committing your life to him. And that is a choice that you have to make today. That is your choice. The pastor can't force you. We can't convince you enough. We can't tell you to read the Bible enough. We can't tell you to come to church enough. That is a choice that you have to make. Are you going to commit yourself to Jesus today and walk in the light that he gives? Or are you going to be like the two group of people and just reject him? The choice is yours, my friend. My prayer and our prayer here at the Bridge is that you choose to join us in our journey to walking and following Jesus. Let's stand. We don't normally do this, but if, with eyes closed and heads bowed, I want you to just reflect for a moment. What is your relationship with Jesus like right now? Are you following him closely? Have you fully committed yourself to him in every area of your life? And that's a big question. Maybe when I said that, you were thinking of some areas that you know. I'm not fully committed in this part. Right? I come to church, but I don't know about giving. I'll come to church, I'll read my Bible, but I don't know about giving up that relationship to someone who doesn't even believe. We all have different things that we deal with. We all have things that we have a next step in taking. That's between you and God. But we want to be a church that helps you take that next step. So maybe today you've had a relationship with God and it's not so close. Man, you need to pray this morning, God, help me to draw closer to you. Because I need to follow you and be more committed. And if you have a certain area of your life that you know that you haven't been committed in, surrender that this morning. Or maybe you're here this morning, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. But you would like to. Believe me, it's the best decision I have ever made, is surrendering myself to him. So as you're standing there, or maybe you're watching online, I just want us to pray this prayer together. If you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe today you just want to recommit yourself to him, let's pray this prayer together. Just repeat after me. This prayer, listen, this prayer does not save you, but it's you taking that step and surrendering your life to Jesus. Because the Bible says, Paul says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you will be saved. So let me just help you guide you through this prayer. Just repeat after me and we can say it all loud together so no one prays alone. If you've never given your life to Jesus, pray this prayer in your heart and out loud. Jesus, I need you. I try to do life without you. But I see that your way is the way, the true life. Lead me, and I will follow the best I know how. Thank you, Jesus, for being Lord of my life. Amen.